Oh my goodness. Hello, 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 all my beautiful angel besties, and welcome to the Sip Bittersweet Pod. I am your host, Lauren Scott, and I'm really excited to be back in my bedroom recording for y'all. And I can't wait to dive in today's message. I absolutely love the Lord. I love spreading His name, His love. And yeah, he's just, sorry, it's the dog across the street. He is so good and he is so pure. He is so sovereign, and I'm just too excited. I'm merely a disciple of the Lord, giving all the glory to God. And before I actually get into the word, I wanted to let y'all know something. And in no way am I trying to take away any glory from God by adding my own personal experience into the pod. So without further ado, I've been hearing this message a lot from the Lord, but in a few episodes, I'm going to keep this podcast, Sip Bittersweet Tea, strictly biblical. So this is probably one of the last podcasts where I will use personal experience to draw from. I literally want to do a podcast about being a Christian wife. So I'll be taking questions from you guys and any advice as well, if you need any, as a podcast about being a younger mother in faith. But I really, really, really want to ensure that I'm giving all of the glory to God. And not trying to take the spotlight in any way, shape, or form. Before I start, I want to start a new tradition where I pray over you. I got my tea. I made an iced passion tea, just like Starbucks. I used to work there, so I know how it is. And I got some hot Cheetos. I've been eating really poor this past week. You know, coming up on that woman month, and yeah, and I tried filming this last week, and my voice did this hoarse thing like it's doing right now, so I'm not gonna stop recording this time. This needs to get said, and I'm really excited about it, so let me just take a drink of my tea. So good. All right. So, bow your heads and let's go. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts open to your presence and eager to grow closer to you. We thank you for the gift of faith. And ask that you strengthen our desire to know you more intimately. Lord, we pray for each listener today that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, guiding them in their journey of faith. When I say we, I'm talking about us as the church, Lord, because ultimately we make up the church. As it says in James 4:8, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. So help us to draw near to you, Lord, through prayer, reading your word, and living out your teachings in our daily lives. May we seek your wisdom and guidance in all that we do, trusting that you have a perfect plan and purpose for each of us. Father, we ask for courage and perseverance as we face challenges throughout life and doubts from people. Remind us that our faith is not only just a belief, but a relationship with you, one that requires dedication and love. Help us to be a light to others, guiding them to you, sharing your love and truth with those around us. We are grateful for your endless grace and mercy. teach us to lean on you first and to grow deeper in our faith every single day. We pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Whew, y'all, I am so passionate about the Lord and all of his beauty and always giving him the glory. So I'm so thankful for how much he loves me and how much he loves y'all, you know? I just love that I don't have to worry about my past because Jesus' blood washed over me and continues to cover me daily. You know, I've been so very passionate about God, and I have never been this devout before. Like, it's literally been 3 months nonstop, consistent, just reading the Bible, praying multiple times a day, going to the Lord first when I'm forced to struggle or anxiety, literally anything. And yeah, if you know me, sorry, burped a little. If you know me, it's probably like annoying, and I'm sorry, but not really, because like, once you're in love with God, once you fall deeply, madly in love with God, it's like falling in love all over again for the first time. And it's amazing. It's like, it's addictive. And I pray that it doesn't go away, because I don't think it should. So, yeah, I think going to him first before anything, anyone, like before even texting a friend, just ensure, please, please, please go to God first. Cast your worries onto him. Anyone or anything before him that you seek is an idol. And the Lord deserves all of our faith first. Like, I want to be able to grow with you guys since I'm only 3 months deep into my faith journey. And I really want to be able to document every minute of it. Like, I want to share my passion for God, and I hope and pray that it reaches more listeners as time progresses. Because God is good. And even when I was depressed 2 or 3 weeks ago, he was so good. He pulled me out from the pit because of how passionate and how faithful I have been, and that I'm being and I'm going to continue to be. I don't feel alone. Like, I can literally pick myself back up fast because God gives me that strength. He's just so good and so beautiful. You know, it's just, I just can't wait to see where the podcast leads me, my faith. And hopefully I can reach more of you guys and preach the gospel and love on you the way Jesus intended. This podcast today is definitely not for the weak-hearted, nor is it short. But here I am. I'm still going to share it because it is so prominent in this world. It's literally weighing on my chest. And although I can't condemn anyone, nor do I want to, because it's not my place and it's not what I'm doing today. But I'm simply going to bring this up and I'm going to bring it to y'all's attention. So are y'all ready for it? It's kind of big. So, I'm going to first go into scripture. It's Genesis 10:8. It says, Cush was the father of Nimrod, who became a mighty warrior on the earth. Very short, very simple, very cut to the chase, straight to the point. The word that speaks out loud is Nimrod. Because I don't know if you've ever used it or if you've ever heard it, but it's usually like not very positive, you know? You call someone quote unquote stupid, like in the movie or in a book, or if you've ever used Nimrod, yeah, that's basically what it means. But that's what I thought. But like going into the word and just kind of like looking into it, I guess like years and years later, people have dissected the Bible again and again and again, and each time they come with more information, and this is what I pulled from it throughout all the research that I read. So Nimrod was a leader, in the construction of the Tower of Babel, as well as being a mighty warrior in the earth. He was the leader in the construction of the Tower of Babel. God had seen this tower as both pride and defiance, because one of the people's goals in this town of Babel, or not Babel, let me see, what was this town? Sorry, the moth just flew over my head. I have no idea how I got into my house, but carry on. You do you. I don't think I wrote that down, but okay, we'll just carry on. So these people, they wanted this tower to literally reach the heavens. Come on now. Reach the heavens? Like, come on. It's a little big. I mean, that's big thinking. As long as you have a goal, but why do you want to reach the heavens? It's not just to go say hi to God. It's to be as big, if not bigger than God. This is what the people were thinking. And this is idolatry. This is seeking self-glorification. Like, when we do this today, we are no longer trying to bring glory to the kingdom of God. We are trying to bring glory to ourselves. And this is an act of pride and idolatry, or however we want to play it and who we play it for. Because at the end of the day, spiritual warfare comes between God and the devil, good and evil. If it's for ourselves and not the Lord, in the end, it's for the enemy. Because we're in the middle of the spiritual warfare I was talking about. We better be siding with God, who has already won. This is crazy. I'm so sorry to go off topic, but I have no idea why my voice is like going out. I'm literally fine all day. And I don't know, like maybe it's the devil again, because this happens a lot. Like, something happens and, like, it just stops recording, or I don't know. But anyways, God has already won. He is so good. He literally broke the chains off of our ankles the devil will try to weigh us down with. We have thoughts of, how can I do this to gain more followers? Because I want to be famous. And not, I want to raise awareness for the Lord Jesus Christ and how his spirit is alive and dwells within all of us. And I want to help encourage to open the hearts and minds and souls of the good news for each and every person. Like, it's always me, 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 me. And if you don't know this by now, but there are meanings to most names in the Bible. And I haven't read Genesis all the way through, but when I looked up how early is witchcraft mentioned in this Bible, this was a very early analogy. The name Nimrod is defined as rebellion. Rebellion means an outbreak against authority. In terms of the Bible, this is a direct rebellion against God, who is the authority figure. And who do we know that wants to rebel against God so much he's willing to somehow erase God? Someone who wants change, erase all of the good out of life. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Both this scripture and the one of Genesis have been interpreted later on in history that Nimrod, although he was a mighty warrior, pride and rebellion both tend to lead to downfall when against God. So yeah, stupid. How do we rebel against God then, if we know that the devil is the biggest manipulator and hates God? Which is so awful to say aloud, by the way, you know? It's so awful to use the word hate and God in the same sentence. How do we seek to glorify ourselves more and have all the answers? With the help from Satan, the devil on your shoulder, waiting to disguise himself as good and ready to just eat you alive. And it's true. The devil doesn't want what's good for us. He will just take and take and take and take until you have no more, until you are spiritually broke. So anything the enemy can use to get himself into our heads, he's going to do it. And there are so many ways he does this, but today's episode is on all worldly things that seem enticing. Things such as crystals and astrology and tarot cards, because they're so popular these days. Why? Why are they so popular? It's called New Age, and all these New Age things are ultimately witchcraft. Yeah, you can be a white witch, but you're still a witch. You're still working for the devil. Or a demon that works for the devil, you know? Satan will stop at nothing to gain our attention. He'll literally dangle things in front of our face to get us to steer away from God. He'll use things like power and control. He'll use things like self-realization, things like higher self, and obtaining spiritual enlightenment. Witchcraft is one of the biggest baits the devil will use to lead us away from submission to the Lord. And witchcraft is made so much more simple these days to get into. You can literally find it anywhere. You can walk into your local, you know, called a crystal shop, or just anything, you know. And by changing the word witchcraft into things like horoscopes and astrology, or even Ouija boards, all of these are demonic devices that a demon will take as an invitation to gain more information about you. Wow. That's just cruel. Because we're so naive, or when we're broken, or when we're misled, or when we feel like we've been neglected, rejected from our church, or why me, or just, you know, it's tempting. But you literally can't love Jesus and also follow worldly things on top of it. You can't worship both. You can't be in the presence of demons and the presence of God. Either you're in the depths of hell or you're in the kingdom. But you're not stuck there forever. And that's where grace comes in. And this is why this has been weighing on my heart for so long. I literally was down in the gutters of the earth. I was going deeper and deeper and deeper into the ground, experiencing both spiritual death and just being shackled by Satan himself. And he was literally laughing as he was going to throw away the key. I'm going to repeat, you cannot practice witchcraft, light work, astrology, hugging trees, unless it's to thank the Lord. And what I mean by this is worshiping the trees. Loving on your crystals and carrying them with you because it gives you confidence. Making anything an idol and seeking your worth in anything else but God. Because only our Father can tell you who you are. And it's hard to commit. But once you do, it's bliss. Because there is so much joy within Scripture. Resting in God's love and the peace that washes over us is just, it's amazing. You have to experience it for yourself. And we need to be fully in love with the Word and everything God has planned for us to rid ourselves of what people think of us and wanting revenge or not feeling like we're in control and just needing and wanting answers now. So we get into manifesting our reality or seeking guidance in tarot cards or psychics and mediums because we're impatient. You know, chasing after God's heart isn't hard, but we make it so. Yeah, the commitment is hard. But loving him is not hard, because once you know the love that he has for you, it's just breathtaking. It's like every weight on your chest is just, it's gone, baby. It's gone. It's literally gone. You know, I just, we often feel we deserve things handed to us, especially if we have been through trauma. And you know, I definitely had this, so I'm not convicting anyone. But man, I wish someone would be this brutally honest with me when I was down in the pit of hell. I felt alone, and everyone around me was convincing me that what I was doing was okay. Everyone. I mean, there were people telling me, like, I'll live with you. Or, like, I know a good place you can buy more crystals or sage or whatever. Everyone has been through their own trauma, though, and we deal with it differently. So I'm not shaming you for what you went through and how you dealt with it. But we can't go seeking love where Satan is waiting to just swallow us whole. Our joy gone. And we're just left spiritually drained or spiritually dead. And either way, we're just so broken and have no one else to turn to, because eventually we end up pulling away from society, pushing our friends who actually care about us, pushing our family who love us. We push them out, away. That's what the enemy wants. He wants to isolate us, so it makes it easier to deceive us, to manipulate us. And yeah, I had people who didn't see a problem with what I was doing, but my actual friends did see an issue. They saw a huge change in myself. It was like I had this dark cloud above my head, and they were scared. They were scared for me. They weren't scared of me. They were scared for me and who I was becoming. And eventually they would be scared of me if Satan did throw away that key. I was just so over all dark, and they didn't want a part of it. And I blamed God. I was so hurt. I didn't know it was Satan trying to get me alone. All alone with my crystals. And I thought, I'll just manifest new friends. No problem. No biggie. I'll just rub my crystal like a little freaking magic lamp. Like, girl, come. And sure enough, more friends come, and again, they didn't want a part of me. If they were just, temporary friends, why would God bring them into my life? You know, I always had love in my heart, and I knew of God, but I just loved company more, no matter how miserable the company was. And some of them are temporary, yeah, but they weren't supposed to be temporary. They were supposed to be a lesson. The good friends, I let them go, and that was an issue and something I had to live with. But the bad friends, they weren't a lesson. That's not like, oh, they're just temporary, who cares? No, that was a lesson, girl. Like, open your eyes. They taught you something. They taught you something about yourself. They taught you something about the world of God. They taught you something that you need to let go of so that you know God. And I didn't know it at the time, but I'm here telling you now that who you're friends with, if they're like trying to convince you, oh, well, you should go out and like do a psychic reading with me, or tarot cards, or you should buy these crystals or something, or before you get in too deep, girl, think about where you'll be in 5 years when you start manifesting your life. Oh, you're in making like 100K a year. Oh, great, terrific. But how happy are you? Do you have family? Who are you close with? How many kids do you have? Are you married? Are you alone? In 10 years, where are you now? Are you making more? Are you happy because of that? Do you have a big mansion but no kids to fill it with? Like, when is it gonna end? You know? You want everything for yourself right now. And then you get it, and then you're just like, now what? You know? You didn't wait. You didn't feel rewarded. You just gave it to yourself. And it's not... life shouldn't be that simple, but it shouldn't be that hard, you know? I just got darker and darker and darker, and I remain friends with the bad company because I just, that love in my heart, God in my heart. But you know what? God will fill that void that you're trying to fill with those friends who are stealing from you. Because I had friends steal from me, crystals, money, makeup, you name it. And all I could think was, why, God? How could you let this happen to me? Well, you know what? Since you let this happen to me, I'm going to be my own God and create my own path. And this statement right here, or this thought process, or at least it enslaves you to the enemy. That's the shackle. That's the first shackle. That's all he needed. And he will feed you the lies of, and I'll help you get there with these small crystals. And if you put them in this pattern at an altar, you will get closer to getting what you want. However you go about your trauma, though, feel that trauma. Feel it. Pray to God. Let him love you. Keep the good friends. I know they're boring. But my friends that were like the worst ones, they're in prison. Or they have like 5 kids. Or they're just so miserable. Or they're drug addicts. And it's so sad to say, you know? Because like... actually really cared about them, and they didn't care about their peace. They didn't care about God's love for them. They only cared about themselves. I'm sorry, I didn't think I would get emotional right there. I'm sorry. You know, just feel your trauma, but never follow the path of darkness, because it will always lead you astray. It'll lead you from who you are. You know, most of us feel like because we have been through traumatic experiences, we feel the world owes us either an explanation or an apology. And if we don't get the explanation we want in the time we want it, we look for answers that will come right away. And that's where the devil comes in, because he sees us searching and looking away from God and not being patient and meditating on the Lord's word and promises. That's the second shackle. You're not too far gone, but it's pulling you more and more into the world. You know, I wanted to keep this season locked into mental health, and it definitely ties into it, because I believe I had the worst mental health issues. And either they were magnified, they were heightened, or even new ones started developing. I have always had panic attacks, and it got so much worse when I thought about things like, oh my gosh, I don't watch a tarot card reading video today. Or I didn't watch your, oh my gosh, I'm having like a stroke or something. Oh my gosh, I didn't watch a tarot card reading video today. Or my astrology app told me that my best friend is going to fight with me today. Or I completely forgot to wear my hematite bracelet, which by the way is for anxiety. And these things are so real that it made whatever I was feeling so much worse if I didn't have them. I relied on these things for comfort. I felt like I was in control when I remembered these rituals. And the devil will make us feel like we are so far away from who we truly are, because we get so wrapped up in the future and the world and the go, go, go. We forget to live in the now. And that right there causes a lot of anxiety on its own. And that's why I felt like I deserved that control. You know, if we want control every aspect of our lives, we are sacrificing ourselves to evil. Like, we're literally no longer looking to goodness and natural order. We no longer need God. Because if we can have the answers right away by our own hands, why do we need to pray? Why do we need to worship? Why do we need to read the Bible if we could just do it on our own? We don't even need to read, girl. Get this out of your headspace, curly pop. Right now. God's timing is absolutely perfect. It's magical. And if he doesn't want something for us, he sure isn't going to give it to us. He's going to wait for the perfect things for us, even if that means we go through the trials before we get what we deserve. Because God is so good. Everything about him. And the submission is hard because we have to die to our selfish natures. We have to be willing to throw up the crystals we got because we know they are making us less stressed, they're helping us sleep, and they're healing our depression. But this new age stuff, it's giving mumbo jumbo. But it's literally 100% real. Is it good for us? No, heck no. We're basically telling ourselves, I can play God. And then we literally give ourselves this power. And it's all powered by demons. And our head just keeps getting bigger and bigger. We make ourselves so vulnerable and desperate for answers that we initially invite these demons to come right on in. Like, hello, I'm open. You know, I used to try and find it in the Bible to try and justify the use of crystals in my everyday life. To justify tarot cards. I simply thought, if these are man-made objects, there's literally no harm in owning crystals. They're God's creation. They're so beautiful. So what's the harm of owning them? But let me tell you this. These things. These demonic devices will try to be God and they are not. Period. They're weapons. And they never will be God because Satan has already lost. He's lost to our good God who is sovereign. He's almighty. He speaks healing upon us each and every day. And it isn't these things that have all of the power, but I believe we're giving them the power as well by giving these demonic devices our faith. We're putting our faith, trust, and love because we love what it's doing for us, which ultimately we're giving faith into the devil. Because yes, this is one of his many tactics of manipulation to rebel against the Lord. You know, these crystals or tarot cards, these mediums we are visiting, they all feed off of our control so they may slowly suck the life out of us and give it to Satan. Don't do it, girl or boy. Just walk away. Say, not today, Satan. Not today, not my soul. Because, yeah, they're feeding off our control. That's through our soul, through our hearts, whatever we're giving our whole hearts, we're giving our whole faith and trust and love and all that, and they're just taking it for themselves. It's not something to give, if just to God. We give it just to God, not Satan. Control is something some of us will want when we either want to lead or we want to go against what is right. We want it our way, and we want it now. And it may look like we want a revolution against God. You know, I started looking into when witchcraft was mentioned in the Bible. And just as early as Genesis, which for those of you who are new to the Bible, is the first book. There's a few scriptures I want to read. So, first one is 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. Proverbs 24:21 says, "My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those given to change." You know, choosing to look for healing in anything but God first means that we're putting our faith into something else and placing it above God. And that is considered making it an idol, like I said before. Making it an idol and just wanting that change. It's so easy to stray away from the Lord and his teachings and his love and redemption for us, because owning a crystal for its beauty is one thing, because they are beautiful, but wearing bracelet that is beaded with jade beads and thinking this will bring me wisdom and healing and harmony is causing us to think that we can be healed from the energy of a stone and that we can control the situation, because we can change our story or our day based on what we're wearing or what we're doing with the rituals we're practicing and all that. Do not associate with those given a change. You know, I believe everything should be done with good knowledge and good intent. And we as believers know right from wrong, and we're not perfect. You can know right from wrong, but you need to know the truth. And the truth is the Bible. And what we see in the Bible is that we shouldn't idolize anything or anyone else but the Lord God. But some of us may, and I used to before I knew God was the one true Father. I used to think I can balance reading the Bible and, you know, meditating and thinking about my chakras or how to align my chakras or blah, 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 blah. It's just a bunch of hocus pocus. But yeah, it is, because it's real. We can't lose sight of God being who we should idolize. And you know, my husband thinks this whole thing is bizarre. I mean, I don't know what his views on it are now, but like when I was into it, he was like, "You are insane." You know, I tried so hard to connect crystal healing and Christianity, and it wasn't achievable. And Jason would literally say, "It's a rock," when I would come home with a new crystal and tell him about it. Like, he literally never gave me a strange look or told me directly to my face, but I knew deep down he was thinking, this girl is going down a really dark path and I need to pray for her deliverance. And I believe he did. The Lord listened to my husband's prayers. You know, I was trying so hard to put my faith into worldly things for as long as I could remember. Heck, I even got my mom into it. Not my mama, but yeah, I sure did. And I feel awful because she's still there. She's still living there. You know, when I moved in with the man of my dreams, I was just so happy. But I had a lot of demons that weren't put to rest because I didn't want to take accountability. I wasn't a Christian, or maybe I thought I was because I was saved, but it was just, I wasn't devout. I wasn't reading the Bible. I wasn't praying. I was just saying, yeah, I'm Christian, I'm saved. But these demons were not put to rest because I didn't really have a faith in God. I wanted to do everything myself. I thought, I'm strong enough. I will lean on my own understandings and heal myself and heal this house. And I chose the path of sage and crystals. I used to think of myself as a white witch. You know, I chose to watch tarot card videos, and then I bought my first tarot deck. Like, I literally learned different patterns of how to read the cards and about past, present, future. And I didn't get as well versed with the cards because I always got a really bad feeling when I would touch them any longer than 5 minutes. Like, I felt like I was, I just felt out of place doing it. Felt there was just something off, something wrong. I was living and breathing in hell, though. Like, in Satan's mind games. I was being used as a pawn for evil to walk away from God. Because I've known him, but I'd never had that, like, strong connection. So it was like that gray area. And Satan knew. Like, I can easily snatch her. Because that's all he knows how to do is try and pretend to be good and deceive us to walk away from actual goodness and actual purity and actual love. You know, back in 2020, when I first met Jason, I wanted everything to be perfect. And I felt like I needed to fix myself, so I needed to fix my environment. You know, I heard the house you're living in is haunted because it's built on an ancient Indian burial ground. And I was just like, okay, well, sage it up. You know, the whole city I lived in was built on an ancient Indian burial ground, to be honest. And I thought I could ward off demons. And little did I know, I was inviting them in. I made not only myself vulnerable, but Jason and his mom and her husband and my newborn baby vulnerable. I tried to keep the peace in the home when Meadow was born by continuing the practice of saging the home. You know, I saw my mom doing it a lot and always telling me our ancestors did this to ward off demons. My mom was my biggest inspiration and I really wanted to be just like her. You know, we didn't have the greatest communication, but our connection ran deep, okay? Like, I watched her every move. As one does when it comes to your mother, if you were raised by your mom. And I learned this habit pretty early on and wanted to keep it living and wanted to incorporate it in my own life when I had my own family. But let me just speak on this for a second. I had anxiety, you know, I had depression all before this started happening. I brought sage into the house with the man I would soon be marrying, and I had never had more nightmares, sleep paralysis, or insomnia in my entire life. And this was before Jason and I got married. And then after, when Meadow was born and we were already married, same thing. I think Meadow started having nightmares. She would wake up crying. When I was with my mom, she only did it when we moved into a new house. But I would do it every single month. Y'all, I'm not playing with you. I would be praying to God as I did it because I thought, okay, well, that's the balance. Saging plus praying doesn't, like, this isn't satanic, you know? But I was looking towards something else to aid the protection and not solely on the one who sent his one and only son to die for our sins. By shedding his blood and being covered by it. I knew deep down what I was doing was bad. It was wrong. Because I kept looking up, how can I sage the home and God be okay with it? Or how could I make saging a Christian routine? I did this with literally everything I was into, especially crystals. And people nowadays love their crystals because how they make us feel. We feel like we're in control and people can make fun and say, why are you holding a rock in your pocket or putting it under your pillow? Let me tell you. Because they actually work. And Satan doesn't play around. But neither does God. We keep choosing things to happen to us now. We want the control when we're being binded by the devil because that's exactly what he wants. He wants us to follow him and obey him and lead us away from the truth of life and the truth of love. You know, I learned rituals to cleanse my crystals. Bruh, I even put out a fancy glass of water under a full moon and drank it. I did literally everything, you name it. I mean, I didn't sacrifice anything, so I didn't get into, like, the really deep, dark, heavy stuff. because I always knew of God and I always, like, feared him a little and loved him a little, but I didn't have faith in him. But you know what I mean? I don't know what it was supposed to do, what any of this did. Claiming to be a light worker. Like, I had endless amounts of confidence, but I never found my identity in light work. Again, when I was 18, I wanted power back. I started to watch videos on YouTube of tarot card readers about my first tarot deck. I think I already said this. I don't know why I wrote it again. I'm sorry. I'm reading off like a script. So, bear with me. But yeah, so let's go to Exodus 22:18. Y'all shall not tolerate, y'all. Okay, let me rephrase that. You shall not tolerate a sorceress. Leviticus 19:26 says, you shall not eat anything with its blood. You shall not practice divination or soothsaying. Leviticus 20:27. A man or a woman who has a ghost or a familiar spirit shall be put to death. They shall be pelted with stones, and the blood guilt is theirs. And the last one, Deuteronomy 18:10-12. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. My screen time's gonna freaking go off again, and then it's gonna stop my recording, so give me 1 second before that happens. Because if that happens, I'm literally gonna cry and be like, this is a sign from God saying that Satan is trying to mess with me again. And I'm not dealing with that. Cool. I think I turned it off. We good. Okay. So the last story that I want to talk about is King Saul. King Saul, you can find out all about him in the book of 1 Samuel. He was the first king of Israel who was anointed by a prophet by the name of Samuel. He was eventually rejected by God because he was chosen by God. And he was given a set of commandments that he didn't obey. He didn't keep. He was commanded by God to completely destroy a group of people known as the Amalekites. But King Saul spared the life of the king, which was King Agag at that time, as well as their livestock, so he could keep for himself to sacrifice to the Lord. Which was the first offense, because God specifically said, you need to wipe them all out, all of them, not keep one, all of them. And yeah, that was the first offense. Has the Lord so sorry, I'm dying up here, y'all. 1 Samuel 15:22-23. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as of the sin of divination, and presumption is as in iniquity and adultery. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. So yeah, he just, I don't know if he stopped being king, but yeah, he was definitely rejected, so. But then he went on to consult a medium. It's like, bro, like, you already were rejected by our Lord. How are you gonna, whatever. He disguised himself and went to the witch of Endor to summon Samuel, who was the prophet who anointed him. He, like, passed away, maybe, like, I think, I'm not too sure the timeline. But he passed away, and he went to seek out a witch to summon him. 1 Samuel 28:7. 28. that's written weird. I'm gonna have to look it up. Then Saul said to his servants, "Seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." He asked her to conjure up the spirit of the prophet Samuel to tell his fortunes. When the woman reminded him of the law against practicing her art, he assured her that she would be protected. The spirit informed Saul that he and his three sons would die in battle the next day, and that the Israelites would fall to the Philistines. It's like, bro, haven't you had enough? Like, dang. Sorry, I just killed that moth. I am so sorry. I love moths, but like this one was like literally suffering. Where was I? So yeah. The spirit informed Saul that he and his three sons would die in battle the next day, and that the Israelites would fall to the Philistines. So the biblical takeaway of this podcast and the Bible as a whole is God's holiness and our devotion to God. It's not saying, like, if you don't believe in him and if you reject him, like, you're gonna die tomorrow. Old Testament was pretty extreme. It was harsh. And I'm just so thankful that Jesus came, you know? I mean, he made it easy on us. But it's just the love and the grace that God has on us, has for us, is just unbelievable, you know? The faith that we're putting into him to know that he loves us, he cares for us, and only wants what's best for us. Like, come on, who else does that? I mean, your parents, but like, if he knows something isn't good for us, he'll take it out of our lives and not give it to us at all. So why are we searching? Why are we searching for something that shouldn't even be in our life? Why are you trying to ask God, what about the boy that I was with for 6 months and then he left me? Like, I really want him, so I'm gonna put this love curse on him. It's like, did you not just hear the story about the Witch of Endor? And she literally said, like, dude, you're gonna die. Like, she didn't say that, but she was like, dude, like, are you sure you want to be messing with me? Because God said no. And once you follow God, like, you can't be going into these things. You can't be doing astrology. You can't be reading tarot cards. I'm sorry. It's just, it doesn't work. It didn't work for me. It's not gonna work for you, honey. I love you guys so much, and I just want what's best for you, and God wants what's best for you. You know? We have to follow his laws, and one that goes a lot of the... I really can't breathe. I don't know what's going on. Oh my gosh. It's like, every time I come up here and try to record, gosh... Just, please, just stop seeking power and control. Don't confide in a witch or become the witch yourself for this will. It will lead you away and lead you to idolizing yourself, which will ultimately idolize Satan. Like, we'll literally start putting our faith into Satan, which he doesn't deserve. The only one deserving is it. The only one deserving of it, sorry, is Jesus Christ and Christ alone. So are you ready to break the chains and the grasp the devil has on you? Because I would really just appreciate it so much if you gave your heart to the Lord. Everything changes, including your internal battles. And I'm so ready for you to embark on your journey. And I would love for you to join me. I say every week, but give me every 2 weeks. I'm sorry. I'm a mama. And we can do this together. How does that sound? Because, like I said, and I'll say it again, time and time again, I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm your big sister in Christ. Seriously, I'm 6 feet tall. Look, I'm a big, big girl. I'm a big sis. And I love you so much. there's a whole lot of love in this podcast, and I just want to keep sharing it because this is God's platform. He's speaking through me, and we are growing in spirit together and living and learning about Jesus. Thank you so much. Have a blessed rest of your day. Amen.
Ooh, that was good.